Welcome to session four of Pastoral Care Through Preaching. I'm going to title this session, Preaching in Pastoral Care, is based on an article that we'll be making reference to throughout. The pastoral counseling field of study developed by Seward Hiltner, Wayne Oates, Liston Mills, Charles Gerken, and others has helped pastors hone their counseling skills, where Christian counseling is now a respected part of the healing community. In your readings for this course, you will encounter those names and others like Jay Adams, Howard Eyrick, Lawrence Crabb in the field of Christian counseling. Let's take their advice on comforting people in the counseling session, and let's also express comfort from the pulpit. In an article on preaching and pastoral care in the Handbook of Contemporary Preaching, Wayne Oates contrasts sermon-centered preaching, where the preacher may be so concentrated on the sermon itself that the audience is neglected in the effort to present a meticulously prepared sermon, with what he calls audience-centered sermons, where the focus is on the people themselves. Oates says, life situation sermons can be exposition of a problem of people in general to the neglect of the personal kind of and quality of relationship between the preacher and the congregation. He then asks probing questions. Is the relationship warm and empathetic? Or is it detached and distant? Is the relationship one of trust and respect or suspicion and distrust? Is the tone of the preacher's voice a carping, complaining tone, or is it a one of simple honesty, of humor, free of hostility, and filled with compassion for human frailty? Is the relationship one in which the preacher lords it over the flock? Or is it one in which he is an example of the flock, as 1 Peter 5:2 puts it? The unity of preaching and pastoral care is called by Oates the theme that binds all together in a coherent and compassionate ministry. The Bible to life or life to Bible discussions that characterized denominational Sunday school board debates in the 1970s need not cause preachers to consider life situation preaching as not biblical enough, or for preachers who put the great emphasis on proper exegesis as watering down the word by giving more attention to application. In this course, and in the writings related to this course, the encouragement is to figuratively allow your people in your congregation to stand over your shoulder as you prepare to preach, remembering them, their lives, their problems, their concerns, issues going on in their lives, at the same time knowing that the more we can direct them to the Word of God, the more ongoing help they can receive. The shape of the sermon is shaped by the scriptural text and by our interaction with the text in the light of the people. How to best bring them in to the conversing with the text and seeing how the text speaks to them. Inductive or deductive? Well, it depends on the text and on our familiarity with the flocks, with our flocks. What is neither biblical, nor pastoral, nor good communication is for every sermon to sound the same. Three alliterated points regardless of the text. Now, would you want every meal to look and taste the same? A layperson commented on his preacher. He preaches a good outline. I can take notes and it looks nice on paper, but a lot of times I don't feel the Holy Spirit there while he's preaching. As we become more aware of our people while preparing to preach, we'll also become more aware of mixing variety into our preaching. Wayne Oates addresses six topics related to preaching and pastoral care. Notice with each topic the necessity of knowing your people. First, pastoral care is a source of homiletical inspiration. In our interaction with our people, the people in our church, we hear matters of concern and questions about faith issues. Oates writes, pastoral care through a sermon is different from the pastoral care of an individual. In the latter case, a pastor is searching with the individual counselee for the uniqueness of his or her plight. In pastoral care through a sermon, the pastor is searching with the congregation for the testings or temptations which are common to all of the congregation. 1 Corinthians 10:13. The pastor is seeking those great universal concerns. I recall a conversation with a woman on her front porch. It had been a pleasant conversation, and I was about to leave when she asked, how can someone know that God really loves them? I know the Bible says, but how can you really know? And I talked with her about why she asked her question and talked with her some more. But when I left, I felt like her question deserved a sermon-length answer about God's love. I also remember a third-grade child asking, why do you raise your hands like that when you say that prayer at the end of church? She was talking about the benediction, and her question made me realize that probably a lot of adults didn't know what the Bible said about the bestowing of blessing. Other times, pastoral care becomes a source of homiletical inspiration through hearing reactions to community or world events. Our sermon plans have to be flexible enough to address the people or to address the issues that people are concerned about. Sometimes those issues need timely response. The sermon the Sunday after 9/11, for example. Or other times when we take note of the issues and look over our sermon plan and we see where the issue may be addressed. Sometimes only a passing reference is needed. But even that shows that you're aware of what's going on in the world. You see, some of our people doubt that we are. And that the Bible has something to say about the subject. Oates suggests 1 Corinthians 10:13 as a text. No temptation or test has seized you except what is common to man. A second topic of concern for preaching and pastoral care is what Oates calls preaching as a form of pastoral care. Oates states, many pastoral care needs of a congregation can be met through the preaching event itself. Oates gives the example of a congregation going through corporate grieving. A church in Pennsylvania where 28 members of a reserve unit were killed by a Scud missile attack that destroyed their barracks during the Gulf War. You've probably read of similar situations during the war in Iraq. Yes, the pastor will offer care to the individuals in those circumstances, but much of that care may be offered through a sermon offering comfort and hope to the whole congregation. Sadly, it seems to happen every summer that a church bus or church van is in a traffic accident. Pastoral care through the preached word is needed, then for the families directly affected, but also for the whole church. When the youth in the church youth group heard the news about Doug, a 17-year-old athlete and leader of the youth group, that how he had been diagnosed with leukemia, they went to the Arnold family's house where they had a Wednesday night Bible study. It was a Monday, but they went anyway, knowing that there would be people there with whom they could pray for Doug. Those young people wanted a safe place where they could weep with one another and hear words of hope. Oates points out, in stress research, we have a concept called endemic stress. This is the stress of an unrelenting nature that affects whole populations of people. The sermon that addresses these stresses is a form of pastoral care from the pulpit. The suggestion is made to do an expository sermon from Romans 5, 1 through 5. Our people need to hear what it means to rejoice in suffering, discover true perseverance, becoming people of character and hope, secure in God's love. Now a third way that preaching and pastoral care may intercept is what Oates calls the sermon as a stimulus for seeking counseling. A pastor that I know called it shaking the tree. He would deliberately focus on a theme he knew would start the church phone ringing the following week, a message on marriage or dealing with depression or some other hot-button issue. Oates says it is said that Jonathan Edwards' powerful sermons stimulated people to seek his spiritual guidance in his study during the week. And Harry Emerson Fosdick measured the effectiveness of his preaching by the number of people it prompted to seek his counsel on a personal basis. A variation of this is done in some churches with an extensive network of cell groups, as the cell group leader focuses the group on the previous Sunday's sermon, leads a discussion on the theme of the sermon, and then provides opportunities for group members to receive prayer and ministry. Oates reminds us that people need to know the pastor has time for them. One thing that militates against this and other means of pastoral care is the aura of busyness that surrounds many pastors. Such initiatives have a way of saying to the congregation that the pastor has time for them. He further suggests broadening the invitation at the end of the sermon to include opportunities for private conversations. The sermon and the invitation can be a means of grace whereby pastor and people can connect at the point of their deepest needs for pastoral care. Paul's preaching in Athens stimulated follow-up. While some sneered, others said, "We want to hear you again on this subject." Acts 17:32. And verse 34 tells us that some became believers. Preaching that stimulates people to seek counseling can lead to belief in the risen Christ and His power today. A sermon on a verse like Jeremiah 29:1, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future," can provide stimulus for counseling, as many people wonder if there really is hope and a future for them, especially for people who may have pursued a vision they thought was from God, only to be disappointed when things did not happen the way they thought. Oates next discusses life situation preaching as a form of pastoral care through preaching. Oates credits Charles Kemp, a pioneer in pastoral counseling, as developing the criteria for life situation preaching. Well, is the problem common to all people? Does it deal with a true life situation? Does the sermon grow out of human experience? Would the sermon lead people to go to the one who preached the sermon for personal guidance and help? Oates points out the objections sometimes made about this approach to preaching. Does it so concentrate on the plight of humankind that the divine human encounter in Jesus Christ is ignored and made incidental? Is the heart of the gospel made incidental to the problems of people? Are these sermons purely psychological exercises? So we have to evaluate, have to make sure that our sermons really are biblical sermons. Similar objections are sometimes made about the seeker-sensitive approach in evangelical churches and that prosperity emphasis preaching in charismatic churches today. Is the interpretation of a biblical text occurring in the sermon, again, one's theology of preaching will shape the approach to preaching? John Bisagno, in Principle Preaching, How to Create and Deliver Purpose-Driven Sermons for Life Applications, offers insight on what Rick Warren and others call a new kind of preaching, principle preaching, drawing life application principles from the Bible and preaching them as the outline of the sermon. In principle preaching, the hearer has an instant connection and virtually never forgets what he or she has heard. Bisagno continues, "The power of principle preaching is simple. Principles are universally applicable. Thus, receptivity is accordingly universal." In Bisagno's chapter on principle preaching in the Expositor, the steps needed for principle preaching are described as: after each principle in a sermon, you state what you've said, apply it to the life, and illustrate it to the heart. The primary emphasis on each principle is its explanation. Connecting with people comes through illustrations, and Bisagno encourages keeping current with our illustrations. The story that illustrates the principle must always be relevant and fresh, something to which the hearer will instantly relate. You know, throw away those old illustration books and instead read USA Today, Time, People Magazine, and a major newspaper, daily newspaper, and regularly view local and national telecasts. You see, antiques are for decorating homes, not sermons, Bisagno says. Bisagno continues, employing every hermeneutical and homiletical device at your disposal reinforces the principle that you're preaching. Use everything you learn in seminary. Synthesize the text. Interpret the Greek or Hebrew. Define the context. Set the rich historical background. You see, the 1950s life situation preaching of a Norman Vincent Peale need not be the model today for showing the relevance of faith to life. Let's look instead to the way Jesus addressed life situations in the Sermon on the Mount. What more real life is there than to address worry? Do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important? Matthew 6:25. Notice what Jesus says, and also notice the way he continually addresses popular beliefs. You have heard that it was said. Now, returning to Wayne Oates and his suggestions for bringing together preaching and pastoral care, is this matter of preaching and pastoral care as consciousness-raising. Oates says, a powerful dynamic of the unified task of pastoral care and preaching is the way it can raise the consciousness of a congregation to encompass the dispossessed, disenfranchised, and outcast of our world. Oates gives examples of pastors who have preached on subjects like divorce, social problems, sexual issues. Preaching on topics about which a congregation does not think much and about which they speak only in private, if at all, can provoke questions and uneasy feelings. The pastor who preaches on these subjects is well advised to organize teaching and discussion groups in which feedback can be expressed. Otherwise, the feedback may never reach the pastor, or if it does, it comes in a second, third, or fourth-hand way, getting distorted as it is told, retold again and again. The confusion many church-going people have about issues of the day may be traced to the lack of attention these issues have received from the pulpit. J. Alfred Smith, in a chapter in this book, on Handbook on Contemporary Preaching, edited by Michael Dudewitt, Smith makes this statement in an article on preaching and social concerns. He addresses preaching that avoids social issues in favor of escapism, entertainment, or egocentrism. That such preaching can be a cowardly act or the reflection of ignorance about the great issues which affect the lives of those who sit in the pews. Smith encourages pastors to tackle those tough issues. Ethical preachers are good news persons who do good work in preparing themselves to preach on social issues. They study the issues carefully. They study the needs of their preaching audience. They prepare both head and heart to preach with humility and love. They prepare their text with exegetical expertise and hermeneutical excellence. That kind of preparing to preach, is a demonstration of pastoral care. Caring enough for the people to invite them to look with you at an issue in the light of Scripture. Smith provides a coaching plan on preaching responsibly on social issues from an article he found by Raymond Bailey on ethics in preaching. Bailey encourages preachers to avoid poor preparation and faulty exegesis, glittering generalities, loaded language and name-calling, emotional misrepresentation, partial truth. Parishioners who object to social issues being addressed from the pulpit, saying, "We just want to hear the gospel preached," should be reminded that Jesus did not shy away from preaching on social concerns. The "today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing" passage Jesus read from in the synagogue in Nazareth cited numerous social issues: poverty, prisoners, illness, oppression, Luke 4:18-19. And the "inasmuch as you've done to the least of these, you've also done to me" passage in Matthew 25 is all about social concerns. This is part of the gospel as well. Finally, Wayne Oates addresses the gap that is sometimes found between exegetical preaching and pastoral care, as if preaching and pastoral care was an either-or situation. Either you focus on biblical preaching or you focus on pastoral care, as if the two could not be brought together. Oates says, "We often assume that the relationship between preaching and pastoral care must be a preaching that draws its inspiration and subject matter from life situations, psychological issues, and or self-help books. Far from it. A direct search of the scriptures provides biblical materials hurting to be preached that are distinctly related to contemporary pastoral care." Those of you who have taken Trinity courses on conflict management and mediation have probably preached on biblical responses to conflict after reading Ken Sandy's The Peacemaker. You opened the eyes of your people to Matthew 18:15-20, as you shared about biblical ways to get people to listen to one another when there's disagreement. Well, that's preaching. That's taking the scripture and applying God's word to everyday life. You may have also shared with your people the merits of mentoring, if you've taken the mentoring course. Now, mentoring is a word not found in the Bible, but mentoring is illustrated in the lives of Moses with Joshua or Barnabas with Paul. As a pastor, you want to encourage relationships where people are doing what Bob Beal advocates in mentoring, confidence in finding a mentor and becoming one. People who will care enough to ask, "What are your goals? How can I help?" Your people may not be familiar with Beal, but they know about Moses, so you can start there in making the case for mentoring in the local church. Now, if Oates, a professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at the University of Louisville School of Medicine, at the time of his writing of this chapter on preaching and pastoral care, says there are biblical materials hurting to be preached, and if you're one who has first looked elsewhere than the Bible for inspiration for your sermons, be encouraged to take a back-to-the-Bible approach to preaching. The promise about God's Word not returning void applies to the Bible. Not Adler, but the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Not Freud, but Philippians. Not Skinner, but the Psalms. Preaching as an expression of pastoral care, preaching being expressed through preaching, the Good Shepherd provides the example again. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. John 10, verse 3. Perhaps our people would listen more attentively to our voices if they knew we knew their names and their needs.